The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
1 Chronicles chapter number 17. We've been preaching to you out of the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Chronicles is a parallel of the same account that you would find in 2 Samuel, dealing with the life of King David. And just to kind of bring you up to speed, David is now the king of Israel. And last week, if you weren't here, I preached a message with regards to moving the tabernacle of God back to Jerusalem. And so the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. So today, if you would stand, please, as we read God's Word. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 17. Give you a minute to find it. This morning's message is entitled, When God Says No. Because there are some times in our life that God says no to us. Amen? Amen. God says no. And we're going to see this as an account in the life of King David when God just said no. What he wanted to do was a good thing, but yet God still said no. And so let's read, if you would, in chapter number 17 and verses 1 through 15. Now, the Bible says, It came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in the house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell David my servant, Thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the days that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have ye not built me a house of cedars? Now therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. And I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons. And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take away my mercy from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever. And his throne shall be established forevermore. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Let's pray. Father, bless the preaching of your word this morning. Speak to our hearts in a very real and a very powerful and yet in a very personal way. That the message would take root, that we would be able to apply it to each of our lives. Lord, different people here from different circumstances, different backgrounds, different things going on in their lives, different needs, different wants. But Lord, you tell us that you know all of these things. You know the very numbers of hairs upon our head. You know the very thoughts of our heart even right now as we think about this message. And so we're asking, Lord, that you, and Holy Spirit, that you would minister to us this morning. And please, Lord, use me as your instrument and use me as your vessel to accomplish what needs to be done here today. I admit to you my own shortcomings, my own failings. Probably not as much as I realize. Undoubtedly not as much. But I thank you for calling me to preach. I thank you for calling me to pastor this church. And I thank you for each person that's here sitting under the preaching of your word this morning. Be with those that couldn't make it today, those at the workplace, watch over them. Be with those not feeling well, place your healing hand upon them. Those that are away, watch over them as they travel. Those that could be here but for whatever reason have just chosen not, we pray that you'd encourage them to come, to gather with your people, and most importantly, to gather with you. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. There are times in our Christian lives when God says no. You may have experienced that in your life. A time when God had said no. And these are not always easy times. They can be difficult times. They can be perplexing times. But rest assured of this, that God always has a reason. God always has a plan. God always has a purpose. God, do you believe that God has a plan and a purpose for your life? Do you believe that this morning? Yeah, He does. You might think, well, who am I? I'm just, you know, kind of very unimportant. No, you're very important in God's eyes. Very important. In fact, you're on God's mind all the time. Because He loves you. And He cares for you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on an old rugged cross to save you from your sin. You're on God's thoughts all the time. He's got a plan and a purpose. And so truly in our lives, there are times, just like in David. David has a desire. He's moved the Ark of the Covenant now back to Jerusalem. And he's built himself a beautiful home, apparently, in Jerusalem. But he's saying, you know, here's the Ark of the Covenant and all the other pieces of furniture that fit into the tabernacle, the brazen altar and the water label and the golden candlestick and the wash basin and the tabernacle itself had been moved there. The curtains there and the holy and the holy of holies. And David is saying, you know, why should I dwell in a house built of cedar when God's dwelling in a tent? He's dwelling in a tent. I want to build God a permanent place, a beautiful place. That's the motivation of his heart. And truly nothing wrong with that motivation. And that's what he wants to do. In fact, the Bible says, he goes to Nathan, and the prophet, and he tells Nathan this. He says, Nathan, I want to do this. Is this a good idea or not? And so Nathan says to him, go ahead, if that's in your heart, if that's what you feel, for God is with thee. And so that's his plan. And that very night, the Bible says that God speaks to Nathan. And he says to Nathan, no, you need to go and you need to tell David with regards to what he wants to do that my answer is no. You can't build this house. It's no. And so the Bible says that God said, you know, did I ask for this house? I didn't really. And we'll see just in a few minutes that David's motivation, God even thought it was a great motivation, good motivation, a blessed motivation, but God said no. And David has a choice, and you and I have a choice when God says no to us. And there may be a time, and maybe you're even thinking right now, maybe a time when God said no. You went to the Lord in prayer, and it just seemed that what your request was, you really sought it out, you really thought about it. It wasn't something that you had asked and missed. You'd given it some genuine thought, and you prayed, and God just seemed to say no. Maybe there was a job opportunity that you prayed about, and God just said no. And I know sometimes over the course of my ministry there have been folks, or I was thinking about this when Brother Chris Chavez was here this summer with his wife Sarah. You know, for 10 years they prayed that God would give them a child. And for 10 years they prayed. That's a wonderful thing to pray for, amen? And for 10 years God said no. And then this past year, God said yes, but not in giving them a child naturally, but allowing them to adopt a child. And sometimes that happens. I have good friends that are, they were missionaries, and then he came home from the field and pastored in Florida for a number of years, and now is retired. But I remember when he felt called of God to go to Tahiti. And I remember him coming. I wasn't in the ministry then, and he was showing pictures of Tahiti. Well, I thought, wow, if I had to get called to a mission field, I'd like to get called to Tahiti. It was beautiful. You know, blue skies and beautiful beaches and all of that, you know. And he showed those pictures. You know, the grass huts just like you think, and the perfect weather. And I thought, yeah, that'd be the place for God to call me. And then over a course of time, God said, no, you're not going to Tahiti. And they ended up in the Ivory Coast of Africa. And God used them there in a great way. But they had to come to that point where they thought they were going to Tahiti. God said no. Then they wondered, well, where does the Ivory Coast of Africa? It's a lot different than Tahiti. Our missionary right now to the Ukraine, Eric Curtis and his wife, they're not in the Ukraine. But years ago, God said, yeah, you can go to the Ukraine and minister there. And now with all of the turmoil, they were actually ministering on the, I guess it would be the eastern front of Ukraine where the Russian troops were coming over the border. And so they needed to leave. They couldn't stay there any longer. And so they left because of danger. And it seems as if right now, ministering in the Ukraine, God said, no, no. And so just like David, they could react negatively, they could react positively. One of our missionaries, Katie Folden, has been on the mission field. She's a single woman. She works with churches in Japan, teaching just like our missionary to Haiti. Sue Perkins has been there for over 20 years, a single woman on the mission field. They don't pastor churches, but they work with other pastors on the mission field, and they teach the women in the churches, and they teach Sunday school, and they teach the nationals how to organize Sunday schools and so on and so forth. But Katie Folden got to the mission field as a single woman. And if you haven't read her last missionary letter, apparently there's another young man there on the mission field, and she and this young man have now entered into a relationship, and it looks like as if God has brought the two of them together. It reminded me of a story that I read in a book that I read this past year that I based last year's Wednesday night Bible study on, Living on the Ragged Edge by Chuck Swindoll. And this is a true story in Chuck Swindoll's church. There was a young gal in the church who she didn't get married until she was in her mid-30s. She was always, what is that saying? She was always the bridesmaid, but she was never the bride. And she really felt she'd like to be a wife and to be a mom. And she really had prayed that this would happen. And so it did. It did happen when she was in her mid-30s. But she told her pastor, Pastor Swindoll, she said this, you know, Pastor, you know what I did after several years? She said, I was getting a little frustrated that God wasn't answering my prayer. So I went out, I bought a man's pair of trousers. And I hung them up in my bedroom. And she said, God, fill those trousers with a man. And apparently God did. But for all those years, God had said no. God had said no. And sometimes God says no for our entire life. Amen? God says no. And in David's situation, that's exactly what happened. God said no. Now, we're going to come back here in just a second. But staying here in 1 Chronicles, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 8. Pick it up in verse 6. First Chronicles 22:6. Then he called for Solomon his son, of course this is David, and he charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all of his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give him peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. So in other words, at some point after God said no to David, God gave David a reason. Now, I want to say this. That doesn't necessarily always happen. But I think sometimes it will just kind of sit back when God says no. Maybe over a period of a time, and I really believe it depends if we react negatively or if we react positively, or if we react scripturally versus unscripturally, probably more times than not, God will give us a reason at some point why he said no. In this instance, David was a man of war, a man of bloodshed. And now, keeping your fingers back there in 1 Chronicles, go to 2 Chronicles, and I want you to see Solomon's take on this. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. Second Chronicles chapter 6. And to pick it up in verse 7. Now this is Solomon speaking. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, forasmuch as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. So this wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing that you wanted to do. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. And the Lord therefore hath performed his word that he has spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised. You see, God's no to David was part of God's promises to Solomon. And God was working all of that out. And so I just wanted you to see that Solomon came to understand why God had said no to his dad. Now, go back to where we started. And we took some time, we could go to the New Testament, we could see, for instance, and I wrote just two examples real quickly down on the bottom of the front page of your handout. For instance, the Apostle Paul, there are numbers of times where God said no to the Apostle Paul. They were going to go into Asia to preach the gospel, and God said, no, you're not going to go into Asia. They were forbidden, the Bible says, of the Holy Ghost to go into Asia, and really the whole history of the world changed because of that no. Paul ended up going up into Europe and over into Spain, and really, all of human history is different because of that decision. So we never know why God is saying no, but God knows. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says that Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and three times he asked that the Lord would remove that thorn, and three times the Lord said no, but the Lord also said this, that my grace is sufficient for thee. And in that instance, the Bible tells us God said to and Paul understood that God left that thorn in the flesh, so that was when Paul said, I knew a man in Christ, I'm paraphrasing now, some years ago, whether he said in the flesh or out of the flesh, I do not know, but God called him up into the third heaven, and he saw the glories of God. And the Bible says there in 2 Corinthians that God allowed this thorn in his flesh, and of course he's speaking of himself, God said no with regards to removing this thorn in the flesh, so that Paul didn't glory in himself, but he gloried in God. So we don't know why God says no. But God has a plan, and God has a reason sometimes. So now back, we're going to finish up in our original text here in 1 Chronicles chapter 17 with David's reaction and what we can learn from David's reaction. And so then the question is this for you. How do you react when God says no? How do you react in your life when God says no to you? I mean, do you, when God says no, do you do, as we're going to see with David, do you go and seek the Lord? Does it draw you closer to the Lord? Or do you begin to sulk? You know, sometimes when a child doesn't get their way and mom or dad says no, what do? They pout. They sulk. Sometimes if we're not careful, you and I as adults, that's what we can do too, amen? We pout and we sulk because we didn't get our way. Well, David reacts scripturally, positively. And I noticed this in the text. When God said no, David then, he remembered just who he was and what God had done for him. God had done great things for him. Do you believe this morning that God has done great things for you? Amen. The greatest thing he has done is he saved you. Amen. And so David remembered where God had brought him from. He remembered where he was or who he was. Look at verses 16 through 19 and his response here. And David the king came and sat before the Lord. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" Like, just who? And he's saying this Lord, why have you been so good to me? Why have you blessed me as you've blessed me? Why have you done so much for me? In fact, the Bible says he sat before the Lord. It's almost as if he's just so... It reminded me of Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah when God's burden... And Nehemiah sees the walls of Jerusalem and they're torn down. And the burden was so great on Nehemiah, he just kind of sat down. And David, he just kind of sits down. And after God said no, he said, "Well, who am I, Lord? You've been so good to me. You've been so gracious to me. You've been so merciful to me." For sake of time, I'm not going to have you turn there, but in the parallel passage in 2 Samuel, I put it on your handout for you. It's the same thing, and this is David's response there. He says, "Lord," or God said, "I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep." In other words, he had brought David from being a little shepherd boy to now being the king of Israel. To be a ruler over my people and over Israel. David always understood that. "I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth." You know, if we could go back in that day and age, and we could, there was, I'm sure, what then would be called the great men of that day. But no one ever mentions them any longer. And for thousands of years, people have been talking about King David. Amen? And I think David, as he was just a young shepherd boy out under the stars with all those sheep, probably never in his wildest dreams did he ever think that one day he, David, would be the king of Israel. And David understood that. He remembered who he was as he sat before the Lord. In the Psalms, he said this, "Oh, Lord, speaking of God, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings." In other words, God, he gave me direction. And God gave me, he established me. And God, he gave me purpose. And we need to always remember in our lives when God says no to whoever it might be, that that's what God has done for us if we've accepted him as our Savior. He has established us. He has taken us out of the miry clay, and he set our feet upon a rock, and this rock's name is Jesus. And he gave us purpose, and he gave us direction, and he gave us not only a purpose to live by, but a purpose for all of eternity. And that's David's reaction when no came from God. God said no. I asked Ethan if we could sing that hymn this morning. It's a great hymn. "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done." So when God says no, count your blessings. God saved you. God sent His Son Jesus because He loves you. God sent His Son Jesus to die on an old rugged cross. So now pick it up what in verse 17 the Bible says. David goes on and he says, with regards to what God had done for them, and yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree. O Lord God. Don't miss that. I have gone from being a shepherd to now I'm a man of high degree. Oh, Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant. Oh, Lord, for thy servant's sake and according to thine heart hast thou done all this greatness in making known all of these great things. Well, what a great reaction David had to God saying no. Amen? He really did. He remembered who he was as he sat before the Lord. He didn't sulk. He sought the Lord. He praised God. Because also, the second point of the message is, as we continue, David not only remembered who he was, he remembered who God was, or who God is, I should have put. Because God is not a was, God is an is. Amen? I read this a few weeks ago. An associate pastor in one of our sister churches posted this, and I liked it. In fact, I said this at our fellowship meal last week. I was talking with one of the ladies, and I was reminded of this. And I put it on your handout. This fellow, I don't know if it was something that he read or he just thought, but it's a simple statement. But he said this, he said, "You will never realize how good God is until you realize how bad you are." Did you get that? You will never realize how good God is until you remember how bad you are. Because that's what we are. We're here on Sunday morning, we get all ready to come to church, and that's a good thing. Come presentable, clean ourselves up. But God cleans us up on the inside, amen? All the cleaning up on the outside can't do anything. Only it has no effect on the inside. God's the one who cleans us up on the inside. Wow. And, I find that statement, it's a simple statement, to be so true. And the longer I'm a Christian, and really the longer I'm a pastor and in the ministry, the more I understand just how bad I am. Just how wicked I am. That's part of our growth and maturity in the Lord. We're just sinners saved by grace. Micah 7:18 on your handout, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Micah said this, I have the first part of it memorized, but not the second part. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Who is a God like that? Who is a God like that who saves us by His grace and His mercy? I mean, you don't have to be a great student of other religions to understand that every other religion in the world teaches that you have to basically save, you have to live a life in such a way that you kind of pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps and you get to a place where you're now pleasing to that God. That's really the great difference between Bible-believing Christianity and every other religion in the world. That God sent His Son to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. Wherein every other religion teaches that you're here, and if you can somehow reach this point here, that God will somehow accept you. But not the God of the Bible. He's a gracious God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. And I like the second part of that. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He delights in mercy. God delights in being merciful, not in giving you and I what we deserve. He delights in that. He delights in grace, giving us what we don't deserve. He delights in that. And David remembered who God was. Look at verse 20. He said, O Lord, there is none like Thee. Neither is there any God beside Thee according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like Thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be His own people, and to make Thee a name of greatness and terribleness by driving out nations from before Thy people, whom Thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. Not only have You been good to me, David said to God, but You've been good to all of Israel. You've blessed them. When I read that, I was reminded of what Moses wrote in the book of Deuteronomy. He said this, The Lord did not set His love upon you nor chose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. And he said this, but because the Lord loved you. He loved you. And the same is true about you and I. Holy God is good to us because He loves us. He cares for us. He sent Jesus to die for us. And David, in his reaction to when God said no, was able to react positively or scripturally because David understood that who he was, that God had risen him up from where he was. Not just from being the shepherd to the king, but in your life and my life, from being the sinner, lost and on their way to hell, to saved and on their way to heaven. And not just the sinner lost and on their way to hell, living a life in this world, but now living a life where Jesus said, I've come to give them life and to give them life more abundantly. You know, we rob ourselves of the abundant life of Christ when we react unscripturally or we react negatively to what God has for our lives. We do. We rob ourselves. We sulk and pout because we don't get our own way sometimes. And so David remembered just how good God is. And then lastly, David remembered this, and you and I need to always remember this, and I've kind of hit on it a little bit already. God has a specific plan for your life. A specific plan for your life. I was talking to someone just before the service, and we were talking about where they are at this point in their life and how they have some family members that are delighted that they are now in church, have a relationship with God. And they came to this point and they came to this relationship later on in life. But they said this to me. They said, though, even when I wasn't living this kind of a life, when I didn't have this relationship, I could always sense that God was watching out for me. You know, I believe that God does that. You know, I didn't come to know Christ as my Savior until I was 24 years old. But I can look back at specific times and specific moments when, as a rebellious teenager or rejecting God in my early adult life, that I can look back now and see how God was working in my life. God is always working in our lives. It's just that you and I, we're just not sensitive to His working in our lives. We're just not aware of it. We've got Him tuned out, but He's always working in our lives. And David understood that. And when God said no, David understood there must be a reason. There must be a reason in God's grand scheme of things, in God's grand plan, that God has said no. In fact, look what he says here in verses 23 and 24. Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, let it be established forever, and do as thou hast said. Let it even be established, that thy name may be magnified forever. Lord, if no is your answer, then I'm good with it. And let it be established, and let it be done. And I accept it. I may not understand it, but I accept it. The psalmist would say, the steps of a good man are ordained by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And sometimes those steps, we think that God's taking us in this direction. God says, no, no, no. I want you to go in this direction. but delight in his steps. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And sometimes God says no, but God says yes to this way. You have to be sensitive to that and accept that God has just said no. Verse 25 and 26, David says, "For thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him a house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant." All right, Lord, I understand. I'm not going to build the house. I understand you have a different plan. By the way, it'll be a message for another time, but God didn't allow David to build the house, but God did allow David to accumulate all the materials and the finances to build the house. That God blessed in that endeavor so much that David finally had to say to the Israelites, stop giving, stop bringing. We have more than we need. And so God had a specific plan for David, and God has a specific plan for you. You just need to learn to be thoughtful and sensitive when God says no. You have a choice in how you react. I have a choice in how I react. And so are we prepared to accept the will of God with rejoicing and guard against resentment building up when God says no? Because there is a temptation to be resentful. That's our old nature rising up within us. And then let me finish with this. Perhaps this morning the greatest, not perhaps, but the greatest no in all of the Bible, in all of history, in all of eternity was found said in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember when Jesus was there? You remember what Jesus asked? He said, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Jesus knew he was going to the cross to die and pay for our sin. He knew he would suffer. He knew what lay in store for him, that all of your sin and all of my sin would be placed upon him. In fact, twice he went to the Lord and asked that. And then, of course, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, Lord, not my will be done, but thy will be done." And in essence, God the Father said, "No, son, there's no other way. This is the only way." And he did that because he loves you. And he died on an old rugged cross because he loves you. And if you're here today, I want you to understand there's one no that you'll never hear from God. And that is if you come to God as a repentant sinner, and you understand that your sinful nature is that which sends you to an eternity in a place called hell. But if you'll understand that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you, that he shed his blood on an old rugged cross to pay for your sin, that he was buried and that he rose from the dead, that when the Bible says, believing that and accepting that, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, you'll never hear no when you come to the Lord and say, "Lord, will you save me? Will you save me?" You'll never hear no. Never, ever, ever will you hear no. Because that's why Jesus came. And if you're here today and you think, "I'm just a sinner, I've done too much, God couldn't love me," He does. It's not that he couldn't, he already does. He already loves you right now, he already cares for you right now. He already died for you. He already shed his blood for you, he's already paid for you. And if you'll come to him understanding that and repentant in your heart, he'll save you. He won't say no. There is no sin too great that God can't save you from. You just need to bring it to the foot of the cross. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed this morning. Our eyes are closed. Maybe you're that one or that two, whoever. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. Maybe you've never entered into that relationship with him. Listen, God will never say no if you'll come to him and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. Never. 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 And for all of history past, men and women, boys and girls have been coming to the foot of the cross and saying, "Lord, I place my faith and trust in you. Will you save me?" Yes. 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 Well, maybe there's another way. Maybe there's a multitude of religions. Maybe, no. No. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. And if you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart and the Holy Spirit has pricked your heart and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, and you've understood because God has helped you to understand, and the Holy Spirit has made it clear and concise in your heart and in your mind why you need to be saved, then my exhortation to you this morning is right where you sit, to call upon the Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe I'm a sinner. Yes, Lord, I believe Jesus died and paid for my sins. And by faith, I trust in Him and Him alone. We ask your blessing now, Lord, upon this invitation. However you see fit to use it, please do. Perhaps there's one here today that asked Christ to be their Savior. I hope so. Many here have already made that decision. Maybe you've brought to mind a no that took place in their life, and maybe they just need to take a few moments as we sing and say, thank you, Lord, for saying no. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Singing hymn number 816 in our hymnals. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. 816. Maybe you need to come and pray with someone at the altar this morning. Won't you come? Maybe you just need to come alone. You want to bend a knee before God. Maybe at the privacy of your seat. Lord, thank you for saying no. Thank you for saying no. However the Lord is leading, you respond as we sing.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art, try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us we would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.